Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thank you very much for tuning in to a slightly delayed episode 1.10 of The Ball Bags podcast. Again, this week we're sans the talents of the bottom feeder athletes, but a whisper does grow in the east that he will be back next week. I am, however, delighted to be joined by the chief of controversy. It's the coach. How are you, mate? All good?
Yeah, not too bad. I feel like I need to start living up to that title a little bit more.
Being a bit more controversial.
You haven't had any controversy over the last little while.
Too nice.
Too nice. Everything's going our way.
Yeah, it is. Apologies for the delays in the podcast this week. I was struck down with an illness, not COVID, but other illnesses that do exist. Winter season and all that. So why don't we kick it off? First things first, in association with our affiliate partners, The Athletic, not only can you get a month free with ourselves, they're also running the deal of €1, £1, $1, wherever country you're in, per month for unrivaled sports coverage, it's fair to say. So Player of the Week, been a while, so I'm just going to run through the nominations because I can't remember who had who, but
go on.
Very biased, bit of national pride going on here. Andrew Porter, Jason Knight, Caelan Doris. We also had a fan recommendation of James Lowe. I think pretty much anyone in the green jersey over the course of Thursday through to the wee hours of Sunday night, including the women's rugby team.
Yeah, or an orange jersey possibly.
Yeah,
whatever way you want to look at it.
That's very true. Yeah,
That was a bit of a swing, yep.
The one and only outing of the orange jersey, hopefully.
First we had blue, now we have orange, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. We wonder how comfortable Shane Duffy was in an orange jersey, but look, we'll park.
Forget Shane Duffy, James McLean, I'd be worried about him.
Fair. An orange jersey with a poppy sewn into it, geez, that would have been a nightmare for him. But look, we digress. You generally could, there was an awful lot of names you could have picked, all very biasedly. Like Andrew Porter was a great shout. What was it, 75 minutes at loosehead prop? Not the position he came into professional rugby playing, but one he's kind of made the switch through. 75 minutes at prop in international rugby against anyone is phenomenal, against the All Blacks.
And to do it the way he was doing it, that front row was exceptional. Like if that's not the strongest front row in world rugby at the moment, I try to think maybe South Africans are close.
I don't know if you've imagined the Scottish game. Ox Nietzsche is
different level.
So, and look, obviously, sadly enough, as well, speaking of South African front rows, Yanni Duplessis, I don't know if you've seen that yesterday. Obviously, we're recording on Thursday evening. His 1-year-old son was tragically killed yesterday in a swimming pool accident. So, prayers up to the Duplessis family in South Africa. Not the type of news you'd like to read, but. No. And moving on, Jason Knight as well was...
Oh, spectacular. Like, we've been... The last couple of international breaks, they've been good. They've been above average. But...
Proven.
I think people actually look forward to watching the Ireland team play now. Win, lose, or draw, by the way. Like, I think they just look forward to watching the team play. Like, there was a serious pressing game done. And Luxembourg aren't too shabby of a side. Knight came in and he influenced all the goals, definitely two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Luxembourg have definitely kind of followed the model set by maybe Belgium. Maybe 10 to 15 years behind Belgium in terms of implemented the system in terms of youth development years and years ago, and they now have their golden generation.
Yeah, and I think on a side note to that stadium they have, that 9,500 seat, I don't know if you've seen it with the lights around it, so it was pretty cool. That's what we should be aiming for in every county in Ireland. Something to that effect.
Yeah, money.
You know, it's perfect. And I think the way forward in Ireland is probably building it in terms, like, with a shopping centre or libraries or whatever inbuilt into the stadium. I think that's the way forward, be it a hotel, whatever. But I think that has to be your standard there.
It would require a lot of... It would require probably a League of Ireland side in every county. It would require probably partnership between both a League of Ireland side and a county as well. Like, that's...
Yeah, we're not going to see that.
No, we're not.
Rugby, IRFU and FAI possibly, but I don't think we'll see the GAA commit.
No. And then obviously, man of the match and possibly the greatest first try anyone will ever score in international rugby, especially in a green shirt. Caelan Doris.
Yeah.
Phenomenal performance. And then also just to throw in James Lowe as well, who, look, I suppose, silenced all his critics and his doubters, me to name one. Had a difficult maybe start to the year, dropped in the Six Nations after the Scotland game, I think. So, you know, he was a... the picture of him celebrating Piero Mattany's turnover after his incredible tackle.
Yeah.
In the dying embers of the game really kind of summed up probably the Irish performance on the day.
There was a few moments there. We'll probably leave it now for the next segment, but yeah, there was a few moments there that were just incredible. And to be there, I know the two of us were there, like, it was different. It was something great to experience.
Yeah, so I suppose if we had to pick one...
Oh, it's got to be Doris, I think.
Yeah, I think at a push, Doris, but look, I think... Someone, there was actually another fan recommendation. It was anyone in a green shirt over the weekend, bar someone with the surname Herring, so yeah, fair enough. I'll give them that one. Yes, look, we'll agree on Caelan Doris. Okay, so kicking it off now, agree to disagree. It's a bit loose, it's a bit fast maybe this week. It's not as structured as typical. But look, I suppose last weekend pretty much was National Pride weekend, so we'd be remiss not to talk over the games. I suppose we might kick off with the rugby and then forward on to both Irish soccer performances, maybe detail a bit of the Portugal game as well, maybe. I suppose, for me anyway, having lambasted, I suppose, Andy Farrell, and having had the good fortune to get to the game on Saturday, it was up in the heavens as well, so I really got to see it from a different perspective. And I think what we're really starting to see is the amalgamation. It is a brilliant backroom team, so... You could definitely see O'Connell's imprint in terms of...
Yeah.
One thing I was very critical of, say, last year in the early stages of the Six Nations and even the 2020 post-COVID Six Nations and the Autumn Nations, whatever, was slow ball and slow, like, forwards taking the ball and stopping. There was no round-the-corner stuff, but you could really see forwards taking the ball on a pace. And that helps when you have a front row as dynamic as Porter, Kelleher, and even Tyke Furlong. So quick ruck ball, constantly around. And you can see Mike Katz's input in the game now as well, which we didn't normally see, which is you're always seeing the players drive through the line and look for the offload. The offload is always on. It's a huge Mike Katz influence. You can actually see the rugby league influence in it. What we're starting to do now is they're known as block plays. So basically, you have a man flat and you have a man out the back of him.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of that's your tackle three and tackle four in rugby league. It's always kind of a block play. But we're doing a block play to a block play. So we're hitting out the back and then hitting out the back again. I think in the lead up to Keller's try, you can see that beautifully. With the line break and stuff like that. But that opens up a whole different ball game because you can either hit the man at the back. But what we didn't do and what we can start to do when we run this play more often is you can hit the lead man. And look, it's just... There was loads of little aspects that were brilliant, perfect performance for that side. I would also say, though, the scary thing is that performance could have got better. I thought some of the decisions on the line were actually quite poor. So, like, for example, I think Keller came off after 56 minutes. He had so much more in the tank. Like, Furlong...
I wasn't sure if that was due to his throwing, though. I think his first two he gave away. What are you saying?
Still at 82%. So, like, that's good. But with Kelleher, it's what you're getting elsewhere. And I still think he's far more accurate than Herring. Like, Herring got penalised for, like, a delay of game, throwing in the ball line. Like, that's cardinal sin. So, there was that. I think thought Furlong... If I was making decisions there, and look, I'm a nobody, but you could see Tyke Furlong was starting to, like, he was under pressure, like he was starting to
struggling a bit,
so I would have moved Porter across to Tighthead because he still had loads left to go, and I would have brought on Keane Healy. Finlay Beelam come on, and look, he's a small Tighthead. He it's kind of a strange one where he actually prefers loose, but they're trying to mould him into a Tighthead. But I would have brought Porter across to Tighthead, and I would have brought in Keane Healy for the last 20 minutes. I thought Gibson Park was brilliant. I've lambasted him. And Joey Carberry, you've lambasted him. I've lambasted him.
I don't actually think we can reserve judgment on him at the moment. I don't think he played enough. He had the two kicks, yeah.
Fair enough. But
in terms of actual play...
Test the Ghoulies to kick.
Would I be right in saying... I know he played... significant amount of the game in Chicago, and I know obviously he played in the weekend. Did he play in the third win? Was he in the squad? I'm just thinking, like, if he's come in, that would do your confidence a world. Would you've beaten the All Blacks three times in
Did he play in the second win?
The second one.
I wouldn't know if that made. He probably did come in at some stage. That was kind of his. Those two wins kind of came in his kind of his golden window. Yeah, look, it's a good story for him, like, as well. Like, just given the family history and stuff, It's very strange that if he's been involved in Ireland's first three wins against New Zealand, given
I think the family story. I think the key to the whole thing was that our New Zealanders played better than their New Zealanders,
I think our Irishman played better than any New Zealanders.
Well, I was listening to a New Zealand host talking on another alternative podcast this morning. He was saying how the nation of New Zealand are kind of, what's the word, saying how much better Gibson Park was than TJ Panara. Like, TJ is an incredible player and has been for years. Now, I would be a fan of Gibson Park. It's kind of weird or strange or ironic that he typically falls behind Luke McGrath at Leinster. But I think he brings something different to the game, and I think that's why he's in there.
I think, with all the fairness in the world to Gibson Park, when your forwards are playing that game and your backs are that well structured, to be fair to Johnny Sexton, he had his backs in line, and they were so quick when there was a turnover, when there was any sort of a gap to restructure their positioning and stuff like that. So I think when the backs are sort of, the forwards are kind of not dominant, but they have a great structure in place, it's an armchair ride. Do you know what?
I just feel though, the way, like you've just mentioned there with the rugby league setup and all that sort of stuff, I don't know if Murray could have done that job. I think he's too slow.
But I think Murray was the perfect man to come in with 20 minutes to go.
Oh yeah, he sees it out and slows it. But that's the perfect thing. He's slowing down the play. He's kind of managing the forwards, if you want. They're leading the forwards to kind of, you know, manage the game, which is fine. But to go and win a game from the outset, I think Gibson Park was definitely the right decision there.
Yeah.
It was like he was on rocket fuel.
Yeah, no, he did. Like, you couldn't slate anyone, I don't think. So, yeah, look, it's definitely...
James Lowe, incredible D, as he said in the interview after.
Yeah, call us all bollocks.
All you bollocks is criticising my D.
Yeah. Look, you're happy to see anyone do well in an Irish show. You don't sit down to lambast someone for the crack. Like, if they're wearing a green shirt, you generally want to see them all do well. Like, there's no one...
Yeah, I think we did call for Andy Farrell's head, though, to be fair. I got a few texts about that.
I think there was someone on the panel that was constantly asking the question, is there any pressure? Is there any chance he goes? I think they
asked the same question about Jurgen Klopp a few months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very strange supporter you are. but yeah, look, I think we've talked enough about the rugby. It was just one of those days, I think, for an Irish fan. But not to be outdone, we're doing, like, let's not lose the one of ourselves. It is Luxembourg, and it is a nil-all draw, but the two very promising results from the national football team as well. So,
yeah, but I suppose up until the win in Luxembourg, and even to this day at the moment, it seems that the board at the FAI still seem to be in split. I wouldn't quite say 50-50, but maybe 60-40 of giving Stephen Kenny a new contract, who's obviously up for talks at the end of November. I think if you break down the Portugal game, I was having a look at it the other day, looking back just on some of the stats. And if I can find what I typed or what I printed. One second. Yeah, so if you look back at that, like we matched Portugal 12 shots for 12, which is incredible. On target, 2 and 3, that's fair enough. Possession, 49, 51, so you're leveling out in possession. We had 30 passes less than them. Our pass accuracy at 80% and theirs at 81. Like, significant jump up on some stats. Like, really, really significant. I wonder, had Stephen had a little bit more security in the contract, would he have thrown another attacker on the pitch in that last 10 minutes with the red card? The way it is, we probably had to settle for the draw. Was just one thing that played in my mind after.
I suppose a lot of people come out and said, like, Portugal's nothing to play for, but, like, ultimately that draw has kind of cost Portugal. They finished second
massively
in the group.
Yeah.
So they did have something to play for anyway. Look, it has improved. It's, and regardless, but you have to be honest sometimes and say, like, when you look at where the Irish players are playing, as in clubs wise, we're at kind of our level as such. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's slightly above what I would say our level is, if we're being painfully honest. Like, so he is doing a good job. It's just, I suppose he didn't get off on the right foot. The incident in Wembley, the kind of Damien Duff walking out, like, it was a ropey start, I suppose is the easy way to put it. COVID didn't help.
The Duff walking out thing seems to have either united the squad more, or it's worked in the favour of the squad anyway, for whatever reason. Obviously, Anthony from Chelsea going in there, I can't remember his surname. But he seems to be a top quality coach, and from what I've seen, he obviously is taking a lot of sessions, and, like, it's a Champions League winning head coach. They only won the Champions League last season, and looks like, you know, might go and get the Premier League this season. They're very, very close to it, so you can't, like, that's incredible. Like, but it really is. I suppose from here on out, we have to aim to win the Nations League or do as well as possible in it. Obviously, win the group will be fantastic. I think that has to be his next goal. And just as you say about the level, like, I think 5 years from now, when we have players there that are kind of coming to their peak, a lot of players that are very young, I think a lot more of our players will be playing on the continent at much higher levels. I'm hearing is that Bazunu could be off to Ajax in January. There's a bid apparently coming in for him at City with a big buyback. And then you look across the board, you look at Jason Knight at Derby County, who we've just obviously spoken about. He's an incredible player. Derby have now got another points deduction, which has left him pretty much relegated. He would have to be, I would think, has to be looking for a starting role next in a lower Premier League team, top championship team. If you're looking, Norwich might be a good move with Dean Smith gone in there. Obviously, they got Billy Gilmore on loan from Chelsea, so it would kind of be, I would have thought, a straight swap, but Knight would have to start.
Yeah.
Whereas Gilmore's not getting in, obviously, he might under Dean Smith, but I would like to, you would imagine if Norwich go down, they'll bounce straight back up.
You'd imagine so, yeah.
It's pretty
one of these days, though, they're not going to bounce back up, though.
Yeah, one of these days, yeah. So, yeah, you'd hope for the right moves. I've seen a few people saying, would you go to Celtic? I personally think that's even a downgrade from Derby, to be honest.
Harsh.
But if you look at the players across, like even Cullen, Josh Cullen was a serious, he's been done a serious shift the last two international breaks. And he's playing for the Belgian champions, like, you know, and people overlook that. They're Champions League squad every single season, pretty much. So the whole thing of the public, the rainy day fan saying, oh, we don't have the players, I think we do. I just think we've, because of Brexit and because of our past with British teams and English teams, I think some of them got,
and it wasn't
not a fair crack at a whip.
I didn't mean it in that respect.
No, I know. Yeah, but I mean
in terms of where the players are now, if that makes sense, in terms of their development and their career.
If there's not players getting big moves and contracts out of this, I'd be shocked. Yeah. I'd be very shocked. Like Andrew Omobamadele, he's probably start for Norwich for the rest of the season. Rough, give or take a couple of games. You know, you've got Quivín and Bazunu. A fight for a number one shirt is probably going to be, I don't know anywhere in the world apart from Brazil that has a better goalkeeper battle. What I mean by that is two keepers of a pretty similar
level. Well, I don't think Kevin Keller's going to get a look in because he's not playing. So his international career is under, like, not, I don't mean pressure, but right now he might
I think the only thing I think that is going in Keller's favour is that he will probably be Liverpool's number one after Becker, whereas Bazunu probably won't ever play number one at City. I assume that's why he's been linked. So if this link or this goes through to Ajax, that could be the best thing ever for Bazunu, because you'll imagine that's him set for the rest of international career if he plays for Ajax every week.
Yeah.
I don't see why a team would come in and take a keeper like him and not play him. So,
yeah.
Strikers are still probably an issue. Robinson, don't get me wrong, he's good. CR7's a great player. I don't know if he's the type of player that's going to get you 3 goals a game or 2 goals a game, but I think it's going to be...
I don't think we're ever going to be like...
Well, true, yeah. But I'd like to see another option.
Yeah.
Collins, Adamida, I don't think so. He's average for at that level, I think. He'll do a job, but he's not a superstar. So I'd love to see someone else come through. You'd love to see Troy Parrott in the next 18 months take off, but he doesn't
seem
he's doing well, but it's at League One level, so.
Yeah, he just seems to be kind of fluttering a bit.
But yeah, look, we're onwards and upwards, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll park it there for all the non-Irish listeners, because I think if they haven't tuned off now, they're definitely debating it.
Especially my fan club in Miami. Thanks for the mug, lad.
The fictitious fan club. Anyway.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So, I suppose the next point, moving stateside. Big free agent signing. The all-in LA Rams, who actually are 0-2 since posting that meme. But will Odell work in LA?
Before you elaborate, I'm going to give you my initial theory on it. As you know, I'm an avid Odell fan, but it's more off the pitch, the YouTube videos, the whatever else, right? Which, you know, it's all part of what you're paying for. But Odell, to me, going to LA is kind of like Hunky Dory's versus Okie Dokie's. Like, he looks the part. He probably has a great name, right? But he just doesn't have the substance. So for me, Odell is Okie Dokie's. He's kind of... Oh.
I don't think I've ever heard of anyone from South of Dublin admitting that they shop in Lidl.
Yeah, for all our fans around the world and the Miami fan club, obviously Okie Dokie's is an underrated version of a potato chip
premium
product. Yeah,
export.
So he's not quite the premium product. I think he's got the name, he's got the, you know, the look, he's got everything, but he just doesn't have it over the whitewash.
Here's where I stand on the whole Odell thing, and I don't know if this is going to actually answer the question I posed, but here's where I stand. Odell wasn't signed to be the number one or the number two receiver. He was signed to be the number three receiver. And then Robert Woods did his ACL the very next
day. That day, wasn't it? Yeah.
That day or the very next day. So Odell, like the way LA play, it's very much in between the lines. So Cooper Kupp and Woods, they play in between the hash marks. They play in between the lines. Odell is that out-and-out speedster. It's a very different style of play. Now, you have the arm of Matt Stafford, so you can do it. So, yeah, like, I wouldn't judge the San Francisco game bearing in mind it was done on the Thursday, Friday, and he played on the Monday. It's very difficult to come in and learn an offense in that time frame. So I think it will improve. I think if you look at their records, they're 7-3. So they're fourth in the NFC. They're second in their division. They're behind, obviously, the Arizona Cardinals. We've talked at length, ad nauseum, this season about the NFC West.
Yeah.
It's an incredible division. Now, look, the Seahawks haven't done much this season, so you can rule them out this year. But I think if Odell's going to be a success, and bear in mind they've also brought in Von Miller, they're just all in. It depends on how they finish up. You see Arizona Cardinals, they've lost the last two of the last three games. They've had, obviously, Kyler Murray and D-Hop out injured. If LA can jump Arizona in the NFC West and secure a home run through the playoffs, I reckon they'll still be very dangerous. If they can't jump Arizona, if Kyler Murray gets back and Arizona keep on the trajectory, I struggle to see LA making the NFC Championship game going on the road. I think if they go to Green Bay, they're susceptible again, like they were last year. Arizona, look, that probably is a coin toss, to be fair, because it's a divisional matchup. Pains me to say it. If they don't have a collapse between now and the end of the season, Dallas look dangerous. If they had to go and play Tampa Tom, who aren't having a good time, but if they had to, if you have to go and play Tom in the playoffs, it's a different story. Do you know what I mean? So, to me, if Odell is going to be a success, it's going to depend on the next, how many games left? 7 games left. Of which they play the Green Bay Packers this weekend. Jaguars, you'd say that's a win. And then they play the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Vikings, the Ravens.
And the was the Packers game at?
The Packers game, it would be East Coast. So it's going to be, West Coast, sorry. So it's going to be 9:30, 9 o'clock, that late window kickoff.
Yeah, that's the one to tune in for.
It's the one to tune in for. With COVID Rodgers and OBJ. So that's for me.
Do you think it goes back to that age old argument about, you know, players choosing, you know, when they're coming from Spain or Germany, choosing clubs in London as opposed to in the Northwest? Do you think that has an effect on players in the NFL? Like, do you think Odell could possibly thrive because he's in LA and his lifestyle is that much different?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they've talked about for years in places like Green Bay that it's incredibly hard to attract free agents. And you got to bear in mind, Green Bay has had Brett Favre straight into Aaron Rodgers. So they've had, like, look, you can argue the toss, but they're definitely, like, top 30, two top quality quarterbacks of all time, back-to-back. They should have had no issue attracting superstars. Buffalo, as well, is another nightmare for free agents. Like, free agents do want to go to the big cities because it's a short season. So what are you going to do for the other 6 months of the year?
But is that not more of a point to go to these places? Because it is only a short season. So go to Green Bay, do your 6-7 months, and then you go to LA or Miami or wherever.
You would think. But there's obviously more to that as well. Like, there's so much preseason, OTAs. It's a short, regular season. But you do end
the
up...
The crazy thing for me, looking when I was just reading up on Odell, he's now 29 and has been in the NFL for 8 years. That's really hard to believe. It just seems like that's flown by us. Well, you see, he hasn't really done a whole lot.
No, you see,
he's maybe 9 catches on YouTube videos, but I mean,
yeah. What you've got to bear in mind as well is that catch, which was January 2015. So that's January at 7 years. So in 2.5 months, it's now. And what everyone forgets about that catch is, it came in a game where they were smacked. Like, the Cowboys hammered him. So That catch, though, was one of those moments that if you're not an NFL fan, you've seen it.
Yes.
So everyone knows it. And look, it probably did attract, given when it was 2015 and given how more popular American football has seemed to got in this part of the world, it came at a time where there was a number of new fans coming to the sport from, say, Ireland and England perspective. So
I think if you remember around that time, David Beckham met Odell Beckham, and I think that brought a lot watching, even though we spoke about it before, those kind of 7-8 second clips, that's what sports is now to some kids. But like, that probably brought a lot of people on, because he's the same name and had a bit of flair about him.
Absolutely. And look, he is a flash guy. He is. But like, he was good in New York. He just, for me, he just hasn't been since.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I hope for his talent's sake, he does hit in LA, but I think we may need to readjust our expectations for Odell as to what he can be. If he's going to succeed anywhere, that lineup in Los Angeles is phenomenal. So,
oh, this is it. This is now or ever for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he doesn't do well here, he's probably playing arena football in Canada.
He's probably going with Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, we had the door. So, yeah.
I'll just celebrity get me out of here next Christmas.
Now look, it's a shame we don't have the bottom feeder Attlee here, because he'd be screaming how he's now with the best quarterback in the NFL and stuff like that. So,
I'll still probably buy his jersey.
It's a nice jersey, to be fair. Yeah. But look, number 3 as well. Right, so we went back that one there, and the last, I suppose, topic in the main segment this week. The Golden State Warriors for real.
Yeah, yes, sir. Just as you say that, I obviously have ESPN on the background. I just see the Lakers in Boston. It's the Friday night game. But the Warriors are they're back. Steve Kerr is unbelievable. I love him. I can't wait to when he releases a book in 20 years. It'll be my Bible. Steph Curry is a very, very likable character to everyone, I think. They're doing it all without Klay Thompson and James Wiseman. If they're to keep going the way they're on for a 70 win pace. Like, that's what they're at the moment. And they absolutely stomped all over Brooklyn, which I love. Because I just don't like the Nets. Put it this way, if I was going to New York, I would go and watch the Nets, because I'd love to go and see them lose. The Knicks doesn't go scream out at me going, "Oh, come see me." Other than it's in MSG, but
it's in the Gardens. But the Knicks would scream to me. I've been there. It's phenomenal. Not for a game random. I've been to the Gardens. Couldn't afford Knicks tickets. They're extortionate.
Yeah, and the Nets are very, very cheap. But also the Nets, I don't know if you've seen the game, but the court is now different. Remember they had a black kind of court, with the kind of greyish parquet floor. Well, now it's blue. It's a blue surround. It matches their city jersey with a red Nets in the center. I don't know if you've seen the game, but
I'm not
a fan.
On the spine. This is what's different for me for the Golden State Warriors. Like, bar the years with Durant, and maybe even when Durant was with Draymond Green, they were kind of a nice team, as in like the Splash Brothers, and they weren't heated or anything like that, and they were just winning games. But they're stepping on people's throats this year. Like, you look at some of the scores, like obviously Charlotte 114-92, played the Pelicans 126-85, played Houston 120-107. They're not letting off. They're not taking the foot off the pedal. Like, they're out to do damage, and it's a different mantra from Golden State this year. Which, look, it's all injuries, and it's all like what happens when Klay comes back. How good is Klay? It's interesting, like. What I did like is, what day was it? I think it was Friday, Wednesday maybe? No. Lost me days anyway. I think it was Sunday maybe, actually. The victory over Chicago. They beat the brakes off Chicago. And Steph stayed out until the game was over. He didn't come out with 2 minutes to go when they knew the game was won. He stayed in. They were kind of sending a message to Chicago, who are obviously, again, are kind of upstarts this year as well.
Yeah.
So it was like, no, we're back. You can have what you want in Chicago, but
if you that would be some finals, wouldn't it? The Warriors, yeah, and the Bulls.
Yeah.
Nice surges from them both. Like,
nice to see my prediction of sides to fall in the East is coming through, with Washington top of the East. So I don't know.
Great. It's great. It's also great to see my prediction of Lonzo Ball absolutely MVP in it. He's not going to be MVP, but he's having a significantly better season.
That is an interesting thing. I will be willing to discuss. Who's going to be the better player?
Between the two balls. It's like the Odell thing, isn't it? Like, Lonzo Ball could potentially be your Aaron Rodgers type player, Lonzo Ball could be your Aaron Rodgers, and Melo is probably your Odell Beckham. Like, he's a flair player, and he might do it for a season or two, but then it's when push comes to shove, he has nothing to lose at the Hornets, you see. Absolutely nothing to lose.
No.
He can go out and put on a show every game, but see if he was at a Warriors or a Lakers or someone like that. There's a lot on the line there.
So,
as Lonzo found out.
So I actually think Lonzo Ball is in the best fit. As in, like, he's not a number one player. As in, like, let me explain this. So he's a facilitator. He's not a scorer. He's a traditional point guard. It's very much what actually Boston are kind of missing.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Just a traditional point guard, a floor general. He's in a situation now where Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are the two top point getters. But he's now as well averaging, I think it's 42% from beyond the arc. So it's like, well, how is his three-point shot got so much better? And it's because he's not being double-teamed and he's getting good shot selection beyond the arc. So
yeah,
I just think he's in the perfect position. And if I were to tell you that Lonzo Ball was the number one draft pick in 2017, and I asked you to guess his age, how old would you say he is?
I think he looks a lot older than he is. I'm going to say, currently, he is
24. Still very young. Very young. He's becoming a man still. Like,
when I was 25, he's got 10 years in the game, at least.
The way
he plays as well.
Plus VAT.
Yeah. After a significant... what's he been? 4 years?
2017 is... Yeah, 4 years. This is his fifth season, might say that, maybe.
Just coming back to the Warriors and Steph, though. I love... Steve Kerr, if you see last season coming up to that kind of playoff time of year, he actually increased Steph's playing time to get more points on the board. And basically seemed to put him in the last quarter of the season or third of the season to get more threes. He's like, I know that's pretty much his job anyway, but... Like, as you said earlier on, it's when a man's down, you put his foot in his neck, and you know.
Oh, I know, but like, look, it's an 82 regular season game.
It's a long
grind. Like, I understand the logic behind this game's over. Let's take our stars.
Yeah, but they absolutely don't do that, do they? Like,
no.
It's kind of like, and I know he said that in an interview, didn't he? He's like, you know, he bases not base himself, but he learns a lot from Jurgen Klopp. And you look at Jurgen Klopp.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he had a big, all this respect for, we'll have to get it on the Instagram page, but he put it a lot down to, you know, that he loved his, you know, the way Klopp went on and how he acted. And then I think you might have met him during the summertime possibly as well. But you can see comparables in an odd way between, say, the Liverpool front three and the way Kerr's doing things. Like, it's hell for leather.
Yeah. Well, I heard someone give me a good comparison once about why James Harden and Mohamed Salah were the same players in different sports. We'll see if I can find that sentence. Very good. It makes a lot of sense. It's one of those typo ones. Very good.
Is it? Yeah, because I never see Mo Salah in a strip club, but whatever.
I was on the pitch or on the court, mate. not bringing religions into it.
Hey, the things you do off the court, make it happen on the court.
Once you don't get caught. Yeah, I think anything else stateside in terms of basketball and stuff like that, we kind of...
Do you think... What, now that we're kind of... What are we? Maybe 6 weeks after we did that episode on our thoughts, roughly. What do you think now? Have you changed your mind on kind of your playoff hopefuls or your finals?
No, I like the Lakers are a bit of a mess right now, yeah. But LeBron's out. Like I'd always go with a mantra like that until the All-Star break, don't make any wild decisions. Well, like obviously there's certain things you can be like, okay, they're 1-14, so yeah, it's safe to say that Orlando may not make the playoffs. I'm happy enough with that. And Detroit probably won't make the playoffs. But, like, Milwaukee are still 11th. You know, if you look at... Like, let's just run through the Eastern Conference right now. And if I told you this was... Like, what are we now? 15, 16 games in? So, it's Washington, Brooklyn, Chicago, Miami, Charlotte, Cleveland. Didn't see Cleveland there at all. New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee. Atlanta, who had a great offseason last year. You'd be like... Phew. Like Indiana, Detroit, Orlando. Yeah, look, you could see that happening. And in the West, Golden State. Look, yeah, look, they are a bit of a surprise package, but you still, it's Golden State. It's Steph. New Clay was coming back. It's Steve Kerr. You know, Phoenix. Yeah, they won the finals last year. Utah Jazz, they're notoriously good in the regular season. Dallas, Luka, yeah. Clippers, Denver, Portland, Lakers, Memphis, Oklahoma, Sacramento. Everyone else then, Minnesota, San Antonio, New Orleans, Houston, they're kind of as to be expected. So the West is pretty much starting to shape up as normal, as we kind of would have predicted. The East is the big mover. But, yeah, interesting. Interesting, anyway. Put it that way.
Can Cleveland... The Warriors-Bulls final will be serious, though.
Yeah. It's probably unlikely to happen in year one for the Bulls. Be confident in saying that. I think it just is year one. Year two, maybe, they might be more dangerous. But you look at, I'm sure Kyrie, with all the money he has, is going to get a fake vaccine card. Like, they're not that expensive. Yeah. Oh, and you? And you'd see changing there?
Not really. I'm really disappointed in the Celtics. And the problem is, from what I've seen, I don't see them turn it around. They just don't have the magic sauce. Don't see where it comes from. And it fears me because I would hate to see Tatum leave and go somewhere else to get his plaudits.
I think
the problem is Tatum as well. So it's one of those, like, if Tatum goes, do they play more as a team? If Tatum leaves, he'll probably win something somewhere else.
Fair. But look, it's one of the most storied franchises in world sport, not just American sport. So they'll be okay, mate. Don't worry. Relax. Chill out. Don't lose your shit. Keep it together. Come on. You'll be okay. Yeah, at least you're not going to trade for Ben Simmons.
Well.
Oh, look, that could still happen. But look, I suppose we'll leave it there. Look, again, it is kind of a quick, short episode this week. We just wanted to get something out because we had missed... this week. So this week's Have You Seen This, in partnership with usasports.co.uk, it's a bit of a dark one, but look, we'll bring it to you nonetheless. So we actually came across this article on Off the Ball, I think it was, wasn't it? They posted it last night,
I believe. So
so it's the story of Peng Shui. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. So it's
that was magnificent. Congratulations.
World number 191 female tennis player. So she's not been seen since making an allegation of sexual assault against former Chinese vice premier on November 2nd via Weibo, which is Chinese social media, because they don't get the same ones we do. So I think Weibo is Chinese for Bebo. But having been missing for 16 days, this statement was released last night on our social media. I'll read it out aloud and see how it reads. Hello everyone, this is Peng Shui. Regarding the recent news released on the official website of the WTA, the consent has not been confirmed or verified by myself, and it was released without my consent. The news in that release, including the allegation of sexual assault, is not true. I'm not missing, nor am I unsafe. I've just been resting at home and everything is fine. Thank you again for caring about me. If the WTA publishes any more news about me, please verify it with me and release it with my consent. As a professional tennis player, I thank you all for your companionship and consideration. I hope to promote Chinese tennis with you all if I have the chance in the future. I hope Chinese tennis will become better and better. Once again, thanks for your consideration. Signed, definitely Peng Shui. I don't know what else to say, folks, but I do pray for the well-being of Peng Shui, because it's not a good read. The initial tweet or post to Weibo was deleted approximately 27 minutes after it was posted, and since then she has not been seen or heard from since. So
yeah, it's a strange one. I don't know if you know, do you know about the situation leading up to it about the former vice premier Zhang Guili ruining the Communist Party? So basically they had a round of tennis together 3 years ago, and Zhang's wife guarded the door while Zhang, I suppose, repeatedly, I'm trying to think what's the correct word. Let's just say
force himself upon her. Let's just call it.
Pretty much. And she refused, repeatedly refused. So and that's where this all stems from. I suppose. So yeah, as you said, it is quite dark. It'll probably be a Netflix series in 18 months when we have our next lockdown.
Tiger King 2's back though, so like we're good.
Yeah, Tiger King 2's that back, and and Pippin has a book. So look,
now Pippin, I don't know if you've seen the meme. It's good doing around. It's like, I don't know if you've seen what Pippin looks like now. He's got like mini dreads and mini cornrows and stuff. And
oh, he looks like looks like a right trollop.
There's a picture of him, and it's like Kyrie in 30 years' time telling us that LeBron was never the GOAT. It's brilliant.
Now, like, yeah, we digress, but some of the stuff that's come out from that Pippin book is, I don't know who to believe anymore. I don't know who to believe.
Look, it's very interesting, the timing of...
Oh, it's great for him. It's great.
No, I mean, sure. It's in the timing of The Last Dance. I did say the timing. Yeah, like, yeah. It was to be released, and obviously it got released a little bit earlier because of COVID and stuff like that, but it was to be released in the run into the playoffs just before, and as it turned out, it did happen. LeBron won his fourth NBA title with his third franchise, and it was in his 18th year, I think it was, and it was just like, it was well-timed, and it's not just Scottie Pippen who's had issues with what was said in the documentary.
This is very, very true. Yeah, I know there was a book as well. Who was the other guy that had the book last year? There was one just after Last Dance. Who else was in that Bulls team?
Rodman, BJ Armstrong.
No, next.
Steve Kerr.
Next. Oh, what's your man?
Horace Grant.
No.
Good Lord, I could be here all day. Like, was he decent? Like, or am I going to
say... Yeah, no, he was decent. He's well known.
Paxman?
No.
Oh, good Lord. It's going to be... I guarantee it's going to be, like, someone absolutely terrible. But was it someone on the original?
He wore glasses, I think, didn't he?
Horace Grant?
No. Look, we're not gonna get it here and now. But yeah, more books. So,
but I want you to find out who that person is, because I believe it to be Horace Grant.
No, it's not.
Is it this guy?
I can't see that. I'm trying to think of the last dance. I'm pretty sure.
Just type in Horace Grant and tell me if it's Horace Grant.
Horace Grant. Didn't tell you it was Horace Grant. Charles Barkley had a book. I know, Philadelphia, I know, yeah. But he's in The Last Dance, and he wrote a book after The Last Dance, which basically talks a lot about The Last Dance. So, and the run-ins with Jordan.
When did Chuck wear glasses?
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't. Yeah. But anyway, it was Charles Barkley. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right. Look, I think we've disappointed our listenership.
Massively.
Long enough.
Do you want to apologise to my Miami contingent?
Look, we'll be back next week. Hopefully back with our full complement at our regular time. And there may be additional shows coming. Just put it in the back burner. But that's all for me.
And that's all for me.
Thank you and good night.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.